In the few minutes that we have together tonight, I'd like for us to turn to Mark chapter 14. We've been doing a little series on prayer from the book of Mark. And I draw your attention, we looked last time at the events that took place right before our Lord went into Jerusalem for his crucifixion. And we saw there that he cursed a fig tree that had no fruit. And the next day they came out and they found the tree completely dried up from the top to the roots. And Peter brought it to his attention. And Jesus simply asked it. He said, "Look, Lord, it's dried up from the roots." And Jesus says, "Have faith in God." What a response. And goes into detail about what it means to trust in the Lord, to have faith in God. If you have true faith in God, you can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea," and it shall be so. We look at that and we say, how is that possible? Stop for just a moment. It's not possible, is it? What makes it possible? It's God's power. That's who we're going to in prayer. Amen? We're going to the all-powerful God. It's not my power that's moving the mountain into the ocean. By the way, that mountain that he referred to would one day be split. It will be divided, the Mount of Olives, and a river will flow from the underneath portions of Jerusalem and flow all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Portions of it will be cast into the sea. What a picture the Lord is doing. The point is not, well, I need to work on my faith so I can start moving mountains. You're missing the point. It's not you. It's the Lord. So, we come now to the garden prayer. Our Lord has taken his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is speaking to them, and they came to the place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, we're in verse 32, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." This is interesting in Mark. He doesn't invite them to pray. He just says, "Sit here, and I'm going to go pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Something is coming over the Lord. In his human spirit, in his human body, he is welling with grief and anxiety and distress over what's about to take place. Folks, this was real. When Jesus suffered, he suffered in the garden. The Bible tells us that he sweat drops of blood. That only happens in human beings under intense, intense distress, anxiety. It has happened, it's been recorded by others, but it happens whenever there's tremendous stress put upon the human body. Prisoners of war. Many of you remember the film, The Bridge Over the River Kwai, and some of the stories that were written by men that were involved in that told of men that were put under such severe stress that if they didn't perform that day, they would be killed on their way back to, and they didn't know when it was going to happen. And some of them were actually sweating blood as they were going, thinking, "I didn't produce today, and I'm going to die." They were so overwhelmed with stress. That was part of the control factor of the Japanese. But then the Lord is sore amazed, and he's very heavy, and he saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto" what? Death. This is what our Lord went through because of what? Our sin and the separation from his Father that sin that he would bear would bring. Emotional distress. The distress of separation. As a human, he's bearing this in his body. We have to remember that he was 100% divine, but he was also 100% human. He was tempted in all points as we are. This is one of the records of that. Yet, without what? Sin. It didn't become sin because he never failed in that regard. And he says to them, he was sorrowful unto them, "Tarry ye here and watch." And that word watch simply means be on alert. Again, he's not inviting them to pray. He's asking them to watch, to be alert. What's about to happen? Soldiers are going to arrive, and they're going to take Jesus away. Peter is one of those that went with Jesus away from the group. Peter is going to be the focus that we're going to read about in the other Gospels about Peter after the time in Gethsemane. What is Peter going to do? He's going to deny the Lord. He's going to curse God. He's going to say, I don't know this one you're talking about. I've not been with him. All of that was lies. That was coming from a believer. All right? What? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Remember what the Lord said to Peter? And yet that fellowship would be restored later, John tells us, when they're at the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is sitting on the shoreline, and he has a coal, burning coals there, and he's fixed fish for them, and he says to Peter, lovest thou me? He uses the word agape, lovest thou me? And he says, Lord, I love you, phileo. That's all he could say. You know I love you. And then he said, feed my sheep. I want you to go and feed my sheep. Not talking about literal sheep. He's talking about the followers of Christ. I'm going to be leaving, Peter. I want you to feed my sheep. Second time, do you love me? Agape. Lord, you know if I phileo you, I have tender affections towards you. Feed my sheep. Then the third time, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love you. And he says, feed my lambs. Feed my little children. What is he doing? He's not setting Peter up for failure. He's setting Peter up for success. He said, what food is he going to feed the sheep and the lambs with? Anybody know? Is it going to be Peter's food? No. We buy cat food and we buy chicken feed. We got a big old bag, 50-pounder. I walk out of Tractor Supply on a regular basis with my 50-pound bag on my back. You need any help? No. As I stagger out to my truck and throw it into the back. And I said, these chickens, I tell you, they eat too much. And then we have the bag for the cat. And whenever we come in, the cat knows when we've been to Walmart. Cat knows. And that blue bag comes out with the Iams cat food. And you go in there, and then whenever it's time to open it, she hears the scissors cutting it open. Pew, he's right there. He wants a little bit of the extras that may fall out of the old bag and the opening of the new bag. All right? Now, we have to go get their food. And by the way, Christian, the food that we're to be feeding the lambs with is not our food. It's God's food. And Peter is being set up. I said, feed my lambs. I've given you the word, feed my lambs. Now let's go back to the garden. Peter, watch with me. Could he do it? No. Neither could John. Neither could James. Peter, James, and John, all of them fell asleep. Now, let's go on. He cries out to God. Jesus does, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter. Interesting. Keep that in mind for the future. Peter, he addresses him. Why didn't he go talk to James and John, the sons of Zebedee? Why didn't he speak to them? James, John, couldn't you not watch for an hour? No. Who does he address? By the way, you know what the source is for the book of Mark? Peter. Peter was Mark's source for writing the book of Mark. He knew Peter. He was friends with Peter. He was able to get information. And Peter says, he said to me, you ever been the object of a story and you didn't want people to really know that? Yeah, he was talking to me like the kid in class. Someone told me today, Todd, that You got in trouble with your teacher. I used to hear that all the time. My mom and I were talking. My mom had her 81st birthday today. And we were talking about some of the dumb stuff I did as a kid. And used to get phone calls from Mrs. Wingrove all the time. Now, why this came up on her birthday, I do not know. I said, this must be near and dear to your heart for some reason, Mom. I don't know why that is. But anyway, she would tell a couple of the phone calls that she got from Mrs. Wingrove. For some reason, something's gotten into Todd. I wanted you to know, because I know that you'll help get it out of Todd. Now, we all know what that meant. I knew what that meant. Okay? When I got home from school, it was going to be come to Jesus time. All right? But it wasn't Jesus that I met. It was Mom with the switch. And I learned some things in that meeting. Second grade was my transformative year, 1971 and 72. My second grade year. How many of you were born in 1971 or 72? And a few of you were here. Yeah. Well, you were alive during that time, I would say. Yeah, you were alive. Some of you are doubtful there. I don't know whether I was alive or not. Yeah. And that year was transformative. Mom got more calls in my second grade year. And then after that, things tapered off. I blamed it on my teacher. Yeah. My teacher didn't like me, but you know what? I love Mrs. Wingrove. I told her so when she was alive. Every time I'd see her, I said, you know, you were my favorite second grade teacher. And she said, Todd, I was your only second grade teacher. I said, I know, but you were my favorite second grade teacher. But that was a tough year. That was a tough year because I was such a rascal as a second grader. Now, none of you are like that, but that was me. Now, where was I going with this? Who are we talking about? Peter. Peter was the rascal in all of this. And Jesus addresses him because Peter is going to be the apostle to the circumcision. The book of Acts begins with Peter preaching the gospel. Peter, who goes into prison and is delivered by an angel. Peter, who stands there at Pentecost and preaches and thousands are saved. Yeah, that same Peter. What did Peter learn? Well, I tell you one thing he learned, and that was the power of effective prayer. I want you to see just the first element. There's three elements out of this passage that I want to bring to your attention about effective prayer. Number one is that Jesus communicated his distress. When we pray, many times our prayers are the communication of distress. And we're asking God to do something supernatural. By the way, that's what the word prayer in this particular context here translates as. It is the word prosuke. And it means meditation upon the Creator's laws and an endeavor to understand them and deploy them. Prosuke. Toward the one who is alone able to help. Suke. We get our English word sucker, all right, that you find in a lot of the 1611 translation of the King James, you'll find that word. We don't use it anymore, but it means the source of unbelievable help. Going toward the source of help. What are we asking for? We're asking for divine intervention when we pray. Because we need it. And what did Jesus do before the Father? Oh Lord, if it be possible, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Lord, if it were possible, would you take away this distress, this separation that's about to come, but Lord, not my will, but thy. He took his distress to his Father. And Christian, when we pray, effective prayer is understanding, I want the Creator the creator of the universe, the one who made me, to know that I need him and I need his power and his supply, and I'm casting aside all the other things. I think sometimes, and I'm just going to close with this, it's just a matter of opinion, you may disagree. I think sometimes we have more trust in our doctors than we do in God. And that's shameful, because doctors are human. They're just limited. They don't know all of the things that are going on in your body. All they can do is take a look, hear what you have to say about your aches, pains, grievances, all that kind of stuff, and then try to make a diagnosis. But isn't it better to go to the one who made you? Doesn't that make sense? If you have a Ford, and you have a Ford problem, you take it to a Ford dealership. Now, you take it to an independent, and they do what they can, but a lot of times they have to go to Ford themselves and get the parts because they're proprietary. You can't get them anywhere else but Ford. And so you go to the place that made the vehicle to get the parts you need so that the vehicle continues to run. This is the point. I go to the one who made me. Now, did the Father make Jesus? No. They're eternally coexistent. But it's forever a lesson to us all. Who did Jesus go to? He didn't go to his disciples. He didn't go to the king. He didn't go to the rulers. He went directly to his Father. And he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, though. Thine be done. Whenever he got up and left, he had left behind all that distress, and the Bible says he set his face, as it were a flint, we're told in Matthew, to Jerusalem. That's where he said, I'm going to the cross. I'm obeying my Father. He wasn't trying to get out. He was a human being at that moment, crying out to God for deliverance, to the one who could answer his prayer, but also the one to whom he had submitted to his will. And so this is one of the elements of effective prayer. It's going to the right source. Isn't it discouraging when people go and talk about a problem that they have with everybody except the person that can take care of the problem? It seems like this has become the way things are. People will bicker with somebody else. They'll get with somebody's ear and back and forth and back and forth. And neither one of them can fix the problem. They're not talking to the right one. Everybody following me? Who do we need to be talking to? I've said this to people when they've come and fussing about this, that, or the other. Did you go to that person and talk to them? Well, no. I get that at baseball all the time. Did you go talk to your coach? Well, no, I'm talking to you to take care of it. No, adults talk to each other and they solve their problems. You're just wanting to use me as the big whipping boy to go do your bidding. That's not how it works. You go talk to your coach first, and if you don't get a resolution, I'll be glad to come and talk with you both. And you know what usually happens? They don't want an answer to the problem. They don't want to do it. They want you to go do it. That's not adulthood. That's not maturity. But for the Christian, who do we go to when we've got a problem? Who do we go to? We should go to God because He's our Father. And He alone has the power to answer requests. And sometimes the answer is, do my will, son. Do my will. And we get up and we lead the distress away. Just let it go. And we go and do His will. There's nothing more thrilling than to follow the Lord's will. We're going to get into two other aspects that are brought out in this passage of the three elements related to effective prayer that I want to bring out to you, because the Lord Jesus here sets the tone for prayer. Going to the Creator, who alone made us and has the power. Prosuke. Go to the one who can help. That's the point. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, we get sidetracked so many times and we start thinking like humans. And we start thinking like the world and how the world does things. And we think that all of our answers are found just among ourselves. But for the Christian, that's not so. We deal with our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray that you would encourage us to know that when we come together to pray as we've done tonight and bring these requests, and they are many and varied, that we are coming to you because you alone can take care of the issue. You alone that can supply the help, and you've been so faithful and good, Father. We have seen so many answers to prayer. You've been so gracious and good. And we do ask tonight that you would undertake for these many requests. We think of the Sanderlands in Cameroon right now and the uncertainty about that country and all the anxiety and the rioting that are swelling up in that land because of the questions about the election. Lord, you're in charge. And we ask you to watch over and protect the believers that are there in that country and for those that are missionaries that are seeking to serve thee. Lord, would you watch over and protect them, and we'll give you the glory and praise for what you do. And Father, help us as we go our ways tonight, as we prepare for Saturday. Lord, I pray that we would take time to pray, that we would be effective witnesses for thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a good evening.